So the first night we gave a little history and some perspectives. And last night we did an overview. He starts off with the same as the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, that you should control your senses, engage your senses in the service of the master of the senses, Hrishikesha, Hrishikesha Sevanam. And that's bhakti. Then text 2 and 3 tell us 6 things that will make it easy, 6 things that will make it difficult. Then 4, 5, 6 talk about association. What is association? How to associate with devotees, especially with Uttama Adhikari, because that will fix our desires. 7 and 8 he goes back to the process, all the way to Raganuga Bhakti, which is still a part of sadhana. And he says you can execute this in Vrindavan. And then text number 9, he describes what is Vrindavan. Mathura Mandal, the forests, Govardhan, Kamyavan, Bahulaban, Lakshmiban, Bhadravan, Mandirvan, Radhakund. And then text number 10, he goes back to association from Bikarmis to Karmis to everybody you can find. Okay. And finally, 11, he describes Radhakund, the most excellent place to engage in devotional service, like that. So tonight we're going to really go through a little bit like in detail, looking at it in detail. And it's interesting because before you even open the book, there's something interesting. It says, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So when Prabhupada was here, he was very strict about this. Every single one of our centers had to have, his name like that on it. Every document that went out from the corporation had to have that statement there, like that. So in one of the incorporation documents where he formed ISKCON, he said that His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, will be the founder acharya for the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, and nobody shall occupy or share this position during or after his life. And Prabhupada was very strict about this point. Because some people say, well, Prabhupada's position is like this, he's the supreme Shiksha Guru, or he's the only Diksha Guru in ISKCON for 10,000 years. But Hridayananda Maharaj made the same point, that Prabhupada made it very clear what his position was. He's the founder. He made the foundation. And certain fundamental principles, like 16 rounds. Prabhupada was very clear about again and again and again. The fundamental principles he established. And Acharya, he taught us on the basis of Scripture. Everything's based on Scripture. And he demonstrated by his own example how to apply these things like that. So many things, in terms of Prabhupada gave very practical description about what we should do. Again, 16 rounds. As Bhakti Siddhanta says, is a standard of 64. But the Grihasthas, because they were all considered fallen, they were allowed to chant 16. So Prabhupada says, this is the minimum. He makes them standard like that. So it's a very nice point, and it's Prabhupada's position. He's the founder of Acharya of ISKCON. And we shouldn't be confused about so many other things. There's so many details. Different people are members of ISKCON, but the founder of Acharya is A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami for everybody. Like that. It's okay? No? It's okay. Yeah. Okay. It says, 11 lessons in the ancient science of Bhakti Yoga. Like I mentioned before, one scientist came to one of our programs in Peru and was disturbed because it wasn't about science. It was science. Yeah. Okay. Then there's a table of contents. And it's kind of nice because then from the table of contents you can see like how many pages there are in each purport, because some are more detailed like that. Yeah. And then the preface. Okay. What is a preface? What do you find in the preface of a book? Usually the purpose of the book, why this book is being written, under what circumstances it's being written, what are the qualifications of the author, what are the qualifications expected of the reader. Like somebody might say, secondary school mathematics professor from, I don't know, you know, Mudge, Indiana, United States. And we saw there was no good books on calculus for secondary students. So along with my students and fellow professors in 2005, we wrote this book. It's expected a student will have already finished analytical geometry. So that's a preface, you know. So in the preface, we find all these things. Prabhupada talks about the origin, the parampara, who's talking to who. And actually, it's also an introduction. The first, second, third. In the third, there's four paragraphs. So the first two are like a preface, pretty much. And then the second one, Prabhupada actually starts the introduction. The introduction introduces the material like that. What's the content of the book like that? In all spiritual affairs, one's first duty is to control his mind and senses. Yeah. Unless one controls his mind and senses, one cannot make any advancement in spiritual life. Die. Shishivada Gopinathki, die. They're going to get ready for bed now. They have to go to bed early. Yeah, but they changed their pajamas also. Yeah. Before they take the last supper. Everyone within this material world is engrossed in the modes of passion and ignorance. One must promote himself to the platform of goodness. Yeah? Sattva gun, by following the instructions of Rupa Goswami. And then everything concerning how to make further progress will be revealed. Yeah. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvagam didami buddhi yogam tam. Tesham evanukam partam aham adhyana jam tamaha nasiyami atma bhavasto jnana dipena baspata. So once we're in the mode of goodness, then Krishna in our heart, he can communicate with us. He can give us inspiration. He may tell you, read this book. You get some, this is for me. You read one purport and you see it's just like being arranged like that. So the mode of goodness, we actually can get inspiration from the Paramatma like that and guiding us in so many ways, through so many sources. Vibhatinandan Swami said one time, he asked Prabhupada, he said, Prabhupada, some of your disciples think that you're conscious of everything they're doing. Is that true? And he said, Prabhupada said, I am not the super soul. Yeah? When I need to know something about a disciple, Krishna informs me, and usually externally. Like I may be in Mayapur and I'm wondering how is their temple president, Bhaktadas, in San Francisco. And next day, somebody comes from San Francisco, some sober person, and I think, oh, it's Krishna's answering, you know. Because I haven't got to speculate, you know, what is that? Is that the super soul talking or my stomach talking or what is that? You know, this person in front of me, I can tell, a subjective thing like that. But within the heart, we feel confirmation or we feel doubt or we, you know, as we become more purified, it becomes more purified also. Die, Shishimada Gopinath, ki die. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Die. Wow. Advancement in Krishna consciousness depends on the attitude of the follower. Or advancement depends upon what? Attitude. What is attitude? Do airplanes have attitudes? Huh? They do. They have attitudes. Yeah. There's three instruments. There's the altitude, but also the attitude. So an airplane can have, how's it go? Pitch, roll, and yaw. Yeah. So when the pilot's landing it, he has to have a good attitude towards the runway. And you see these things coming down. Actually, for a while, some of the airlines, they had cameras where you could see down, and also you could see what the pilot sees. But it became so frightening for the passengers, they took them out after about 2 months. Because the thing is, they're coming down, landing, very nice, but it's not like that. It's coming down, and it starts to go like this. Yeah. The pilot's sitting there, you know. Get the thing on the ground. Right? So this is it. We have an attitude towards reality. Ishwaraham. Aham bogi, siddham balaban suki. This is for divine and demoniac natures. Ishwaraham, I am the controller. Aham Bhogi, I am the enjoyer. Ishwaraham Aham Bhogi, Siddham, I am perfect. Balavan Tuki, I am powerful. So every morning you can chant this on your beads. I am powerful, pay famous, rich, perfect. I am powerful, rich, famous, perfect. I can do it all. I can do it all. I can have everything. I am rich, famous. So it's an attitude towards life, no? Look at that like that, you know? But somebody else has a different attitude. They think that, you know, the purpose of life is to serve other people. You know, the mass of humanity is the object of worship. This is Ganesh. So different attitudes. So if you have the right attitude, advancement in Krishna consciousness depends on the attitude of the follower. A follower of the Krishna consciousness movement should become a perfect Goswami. So Prabhupada's continuing discussing this first verse. The first verse talks about sense control. So Prabhupada's introducing it. Vaishnavas are generally known as Goswamis. One who wants to become a perfect devotee of Krishna must become a Goswami. Go means the senses and Swami means the master. Unless one controls his senses and mind, one cannot become a Goswami. To achieve the highest success in life by becoming a Goswami and then a pure devotee of the Lord, one must follow the instructions known as Upadeshamrita, which have been given by Srila Rupa Goswami. Srila Rupa Goswami has given many other books, such as Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Vidagdha Madhava, and Lalita Madhava. But Upadeshamrita constitutes the first instructions for neophyte devotees. So I was thinking it just discusses the first thing. You know, it discusses everything, but it just does kind of general summary like that. It goes all the way from different levels of spiritual life, Madhyamadhikari, Radhakun, but it doesn't give details. It gives like a good perspective. And a lot of details about the beginning process, which is controlling the senses. One should follow these instructions very strictly, then it will be easier to make one's life successful. Right. Hare Krishna. It says there, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. So your assignment is to try and forge Srila Prabhupada's signature. You learn a lot. You just try and copy it, you learn a lot. It's just really, it's like it's so intense. It's like, wow. Yeah, try it. September 20th, 1975. Vishwarup Mahotsava, Krishna Balaram Mandir, Raman Reti, Vrindavan, India. So several of the books, there's the date, different dates like that, when Prabhupada finished one canto. So Jayananda told us that Prabhupada said, if you can do it, I can give you an excuse for having a festival every day. There's so many things in Vaishnava culture. So yeah, Vishwarup Mahotsava, what else happened? What happened on Vishwarup Mahotsava? Prabhupada took sannyas. It's the anniversary of Lord Chaitanya's sannyas. Prabhupada still published sannyas. So it's a nice day for a festival, another excuse for a party. You know, so Prabhupada's sannyas anniversary. And also, it's the birthday party of Upadeshamrita. So you could have how many candles? 1975? 36? Yeah, 36 years. Wow. Yeah. Some candles like that, happy birthday to you, like that. Chant the whole thing like that. It's one festival after another. So that's the second half of the preface. And actually it's an introduction. He's introducing the first verse, which is Vacho Vegam, Manasa, Krodha Vegam, like that. And that's the beginning. If you don't do that, because, you know, I mean, it was the whole thing sometime. At some point, people were following one of Prabhupada's godbrothers, maybe like 1977 or something like that, you know. And a little later, I'd probably his body. It's maybe like 1980. This whole wave came of people, they're sitting there following one of Prabhupada's godbrothers and developed this whole thing that love is beyond the law. You know, one group right now, they say, ISKCON has rules and regulations, but we have love, like that. Yeah. And literally smoking marijuana, intoxicated on marijuana, and saying, Prabhu, but singing bhajans and also reputation for some marijuana. And they're talking about chanting japa, and they say, Prabhu, I'm not into quantity, I'm into quality. Like that, you know? So he says here, no, the first thing is you have to control your mind and senses. Without doing that, you're not going to make any more progress like that. You know? You may increase your adrenaline secretion and other things like that, but that's not what spiritual life is, you know? So very introduction, very basic. But backing up again, there's a preface. And it's interesting. Okay, so many of Prabhupada's books, in the preface, he talks about epistemology. Yeah, epistemology is how you know, right? Ontology is what you can know. And praxeology is what you do about it. Those are basically the three aspects of philosophy. How you know, what you can know, and what you do about it. Yeah? Okay. So many in Prabhupada's books, in the beginning, he talks about our epistemology, because he's presenting this book as Bhagavad Gita or something, and here's this knowledge. Well, how do you know? How did you get the source? So what is our epistemology? What are three sources of knowing that are mentioned in Prabhupada's books? Yeah, other three, more general. Yeah? What is pratiksha? Pratiksha. Yeah, direct perception, like that. I've seen the sun. The sun is only this big. Yeah. Oh, much bigger. 93 million miles away, and it appears that big. I think one time they said, Berkeley is a strange city. It's a really intellectual place like that. So, for example, one time one person had this thing, he had like little thing at the Earth, and walking on the sidewalk, he had like, well, here's Pluto, and here's Neptune, and here's the Earth, like that. It was like the distances in proportion, like that, you know? And it was, you could see like, well, how far they are, you're walking like that, you know? Okay, and he said, you know, line across, straight line across the sidewalk. And he said, now imagine a planet size of the entire city. That's how big the sun is in comparison to the Earth, like that. It's like, wow, that's big. He said, yes, it's really big. Actually, that big, but it's like, you know, like a grain of sand compared to a basketball. You know, that's how much bigger the sun is, like that, and so on. You know, so direct perception has its limits. And anumana means just speculation, algebra, geometry, grammar. You see something, you think about it. You know, wow, one gulab jamun tasted very nice. I experienced that. So two gulab jamuns must be better. And 20 gulab jamuns must be really good. No, it's not like that. You can speculate, but it kind of goes like that. Yeah, getting better, then maybe, I don't know, somewhere there starts to, you know, become actually painful. So there's limits to anumana. And finally, shabda, hearing from authority, like that. You know? And so you see so many times Prabhupada introduces this. You know? So it's interesting because in this preface, you see many, many different people. People are being introduced here like that. You can see how many people or groups of people are being introduced in this. The Krishna consciousness movement, okay, there's one group, is conducted under the supervision of Krishna Rupa Goswami. Yeah, that's who we are. We're Rupanugas. The Gaudiya Vaishnavas, or Bengali Vaishnavas, there's three already, three people and groups of people, are mostly followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of whom the six Goswamis of Vrindavan are direct disciples. Therefore, Narottam Das Thakur has sung, Rupa Raghunatha Pade Hoibe Akuti Kabehama Bujabose Yugala Piriti. When I am eager to understand the literature given by the Goswamis, then I shall be able to understand the transcendental loving affairs of Radha and Krishna. I got to think, nine. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in order to bestow upon human society the benediction of the science of Krishna. The most exalted of all the activities of Lord Krishna are his pastimes of conjugal love with the gopis. 10. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in the mood of Srimati Radharani, the best of the gopis. Therefore, to understand the mission of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and follow in his footsteps, one must very seriously become a follower of the six Goswamis. That gives us like 17 here. And two times, Prabhupada mentions them all. He doesn't just say, he names them all like that, one after another. He gives some kind of satisfaction Prabhupada derived by saying their names. Sri Rupa, Sanatana, Bhatta Raghunath, Sri Jiva, Gopal Bhatta, and Dasa Raghunath. Sri Rupa Goswami was a leader of all the Goswamis, and to guide our activities, he gave us this Upadeshamrita, the nectar of instruction, to follow. As Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left behind him eight verses known as the Shikshastika, Rupa Goswami gave us Upadeshamrita, so we may become pure Vaishnavas. So he's giving a lot of impetus. He puts it on the same level as the Shikshastika, like that. Very potent. I mean, we were hearing before that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati says, you see, it should be worn around the neck, like that, by all the Vaishnavas. It's a very important book, very nice. And the thing is, when you start to go, you go through like this, so it's just 17 different people or groups of people here. There's, we got Krishna, Radharani, Gopis, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Rupa Goswami, the six Goswamis, Narottam Das Thakur, Gaudiya Vaishnavas, Krishna Consciousness Movements. See, it's coming down like that, no? Very good. But he puts them in different order, just like that. But that's the situation. We're the ultimate God. Krishna is the ultimate person. His highest manifestation is his love for Radharani, which is one of the gopis. You see, he can reorder everything so he follows a linear sequence. Yeah, but probably start here, go there, matter of tastefulness. Starting with Rupa Goswami, that's how for us to start like that, focusing on him. Yeah. Of course, we want to serve the devotees, the Krishna consciousness movement, but right now we're serving Rupa Goswami. Yeah. So it's okay? Do good? Okay. But then you start going through these things. Like, for example, okay, you can look up the reference for the Shikshastika, right? Oh, it's a wonderful piece of literature, like that. But also, I was looking up this song, Rupa Raghunatha Pade Hoi Beyakuti Kabihama Bujhabo Se Yugala Piriti. Now, Prabhupada quotes it many times, like that. So where is it from? You know where this is from? It's from a songbook by Narottam. What's the name of the songbook? Huh? Prarthana. Yeah. Okay, there's many songs in Prarthana, no? Yeah. But which song is this? What number? Number one. Yeah, it's the one that he introduces the whole songbook like that with this, yeah? There is, as far as we know, there's only two complete songs by Srila Prabhupada cited in his purports. In the sixth canto, he cites Narada Muni Bhajaivi Naradika Ramananame. Some people say it was Prabhupada's favorite song. Yeah. But he cites that in the sixth canto. And then in Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila, chapter 7, Prabhupada cites this entire song like that. How does it start? What's the first line? Goranga bolite have. Yeah. And it's in the purport, one of the purports. Actually, Prabhupada published that chapter as a separate book before the book was finished. It's Lord Chaitanya in Five Features. It's a wonderful chapter. It discusses the Panchatattva and everything else like that. So it's very, so much emphasis. You know, it's one citation, but you start to investigate it and you see it's part of a whole complex, you know. Again, we gave a nice seminar in Texas for 1 week on this song and everything else. So right now, if you're fortunate, we have this songbook right here. And guess which page number it's on. If you have to pick one number, what number is that number? 108. So spooky. Actually, we're gonna teach cinematography here, right? Teach cinematography in the campus here. And we're designing our first movie because we learned today. Actually, one girl's coming here to the Bhaktivedanta College. She has her suitcase. She gets off the bus. And she comes here in a very suspicious place, you know. So the name of the movie is Return of the Dracula. And then she talks to this strange kind of esoteric guy from Transylvania. He says, yeah, so the first Dracula movie was filmed here long ago. The gardener. Yeah, it's more to it like that, right? Yeah. Oh yeah, then she first thing she hears is somebody reading Krishna book about Putana, the blood-sucking witch. You know. Ooh, getting more of that. Yeah, it's going to kind of imitate Harry Potter like that, you know, something like that. Okay, it's money rich. Where is it? 106, 107, 108. Yeah. Also in chapter 7 of Adi Lila, Prabhupada quotes the 108 Upanishads. And there's no real reason. It just says the Upanishads, but the purport he has, all 108 Upanishads listed like that. Adi Lila, chapter 7, text number 108. That's what the 108 Upanishads are. But it's interesting because you go through the whole list, one name appears twice. So I don't know if the two Upanishads have the same name or if it's a mistake or not like that. So many interesting things about the books. You discover little things like that. Yeah. So we can sing this here. I guess it made a little different versions. Goranga balite habe pulaka sharir hari hari balite Nayanai babai nera Goranga bolite abe pulaka share ahari hari bolite na yanai babe niera abe pulaka share Hari Hari Balai Tainai Yandai Babai Nien Tarakabai Nitai Chan Corona Hoi Bai Sangsara Basana Mor Kabai Tucha Habai Corona hoi vei Sangsara basana mo Kabei tu chabei Deshaya chadiya kabei Shudaha beiman Kabeha Mahera Boshri Vibrindavana Yachadiya Kabe Shudabe Ma Kabeha Mahera Boshri Vibrindavana Rupa Raghunatha Pade Hoi Beya Kuti Kabeha Mabaya Bose Yugala Piritie Raghunatha Pade Hoi Beya Kuti Abaya Mavoda Bose Yugala Piritie Rupa Raghunatha Pade Rahu Mora Parartana Koroje Sada Narotamada Raghunatha Pade Hoi Behora Partana Koroe Sada Rindamada Goranga Bolitai Habai Pulaka Sharir Hari Hari Boli Te Na Yandai Babe Ne Yahoi Te Habe
Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare Hare
Raghunath ki jai. When will it happen? Haibe. Again and again. Quando. When will it happen? So a word occurs again and again in this song. That when I chant the name Gauranga Pulaka, means goosebumps. Goosebumps? It stands up on, you know, on my body. When will I have horripilations? Goosebumps in English. Horripilations. Prabhupada translates it. When will that happen, when I chant the name Gauranga? And then when I chant the name of Krishna, Hari, Hari, tears will come to my nayane, to my nayana, to the ear, to the eyes, like that. Yeah. So in the purport to Adi Lila chapter 7, Prabhupada demonstrates this is a whole summary of our development of Krishna consciousness. Yeah. Somebody says the name, comes in contact with Lord Chaitanya, the Hare Krishnas, and he's saying the name of Gauranga, and he starts to, you know, feel some ecstasy hearing about Lord Chaitanya, and then he can approach Krishna. He can approach Krishna, and then he starts to feel tears coming from his eyes, and then we get the mercy of Lord Nityananda. After we get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, we get the mercy of Lord Nityananda. He's describing Adakabe. When will it be? Arakabe nitai chander koruna hoibe. When will hoibe? When will it be? When will Lord Nityananda give me his mercy? Like that. Yeah? And what will happen? Sangsara vasana mora, my sangsara vasan. They will become insignificant. Yeah, well, when will that happen? When will they become insignificant? For those students who are reading David Haberman's introduction to Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, you're going to find very interesting mention of this word, Sangsara Vasana. It's a very essential part of the whole theory of drama, explanation of his sentiments, emotions. Sangsara Vasana. But he says, all my Sangsara Vasanas will become insignificant like that. You know? Yeah, I still have these desires. One devotee, he became very, he's GBC, he's sannyasi, and he's guru. Yeah. But when he was a brahmachari, he wrote to Prabhupada and he said, Prabhupada, I can't stop thinking about illicit sex. You know? And Prabhupada wrote back and he said, yes, because of the birth you have taken, you will not be able to stop thinking about illicit sex. Yeah. But if you engage in this devotional service, you'll be able to tolerate it. Yeah. Very similar, very interesting comparison. Bhakti Chiruswami said, went to Prabhupada's room one time and he was crying and Prabhupada said, what happened? He said, Prabhupada, I keep falling down every time I go to Calcutta. And Prabhupada said, what happens? And he said, you send me there for some business and I can't help it. I start eating rasagulas and like that, sandesh. And Prabhupada started laughing. He said, don't worry, it'll go away. Like that. And so on. But the difference between American Sangsara Vasana and Bengali Sangsara Vasana. Yeah. Yeah. But in both cases, it becomes insignificant. It's still there. You know. Also, Prabhupada himself, he said, I have been a sannyasi for many years, but sometimes I still think about my former wife. He said, this is natural, but I don't go back. That is intelligence. You know. So the intelligence becomes purified. Now it can control the mind, the senses like that. Yeah. Some point, maybe, yeah, we get the point, maybe we'll have to wait until we leave this body to come to that point. But we come to the point where we have fully ecstatic and emotional sentiment. And that point, yeah, we just forget the body, it's just gone. Where is my body? Oh, there it is. Oh, okay, like that, yeah. Well, I haven't eaten for 2 weeks, so I'm almost dead. Okay, like that. No, it happens. When Lord Nityananda came in contact with Madhavendra Puri, he was traveling everywhere all over India before he met Lord Chaitanya. He met him, and finally he was somebody who was like, you know, alive in Krishna consciousness. So they were talking about Krishna and Bhagavatam and Vishnu and everything else. And it became so intense, they would sing different songs, they would just become ecstatic. It is said the disciples of Madhavendra Puri, they couldn't tell if it was day or night. That's pretty extreme. You can't tell if it's day or night. There's such an intense sentiment like that. So at that point, yeah, you know, it becomes insignificant by the mercy of Lord Nityananda. So we're talking about that level. We're no longer dying for a cigarette. Oh my God, I have a cigarette or I'll die. Like that. People like that. Okay. No. So then what happens next? Mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Then we get the mercy of Lord Nityananda, and we get that, we can tell because we can follow four principles. We become free from these things. Vishaya, Vishaya, Chadiya, Kabe, Shudahabe, Mana. And when this Vishaya, this flickering material world, Vishaya Bhoga, trying to enjoy this flickering material world, probably that's a symptom of advancement. We're giving it up. It's just running after these temporary pleasures. Yeah? Then what happens? Shuddha habe mana. The mind becomes purified. If the senses are engaged in pure activities, then the mind becomes purified. They say, the Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said, nonsense speech leads to nonsense thoughts, leads to nonsense habits, leads to repeated birth, death, disease, and old age. Like that. So it all starts with talking in the Bhaccho Vegam. Then what happens? The mind becomes purified because you're just talking about things, you know, doing pure things. Vishaya chadiya, Vishaya chadiya kabe, shudahabe mana, kabeha maherabo, Sri Vrindavana. And when the mind is purified, then we can see Vrindavan Dham. Yeah? Prabhupada was walking with the devotees in Vrindavan. And then maybe many times, not good organization, and there was trash in the streets, and so many, you know, very difficult things like that. You know? And the weather sometimes becomes very hot. The dogs die in the street because the weather sometimes is so hot. You know? So, but Prabhupada said, there's a speck of dust on your eyes right now. When it's gone, you will see that this is all spiritual world. I mean, the first time I went to Vrindavan was 1978. Prabhupada's first, you know, Tirubhava festival, like that. And again, I mentioned before, it was very simple then. There were no motor rickshaws. It was just like, you know, after Krishna Balaram temple, all those shops that are now, they were just like this, you know, tin, they call it corrugated sheet metal, and not even all of them there, just kind of this, grass, you know, grass mats and stuff. And Prabhupada's Samadhi was, at that point, was just like a phone booth. You know, the pujari opened up and did the aarti from the outside, and we stood outside in the outside, you know, now all these things like that. So very simple. And, you know, the street dogs were suffering with diseases and, you know, everything else. Yeah. But it was the first time going there, but I was still prepared. I've been chanting, following. I was like 78, I went there, I initiated in 74. So 4 years, 5 years, I was following. And in Vrindavan, when you go there, it's like, you know, everything is spiritual, everything is transcendental. Like, I make the example again that when you're on the altar, Krishna is transcendental, the paraphernalia is transcendental, you can't think bad thoughts. But Vrindavan, you're on the altar 24 hours a day. It's just, you've got to like control your mind and senses like that. You become angry at a devotee, just at work in Vrindavan. You know, like that, terrible reactions like that. And also rapid progress. You know? One year we went with some devotees from Spain, like that. Tirthakirti, everybody. And they had some friends who were musicians and some friends of friends who were musicians. And it was kind of like, you know, they were following and they had people and chanting their rounds and they were following, not chanting their rounds. And they were smoking some marijuana. It was like a line like that. So we got to our accommodation, went ashram near the Krishna Balaram temple. And right away, two of these guys were looking for, because they heard in Vrindavan you can get marijuana and it's not illegal and stuff, you know. So I had a unbelievable allergic reaction to whatever he got like that. His face swelled up. He couldn't breathe like that. It's okay, you know. Then it was the same guy, another devotee. We all went to the Radha Govinda temple, the old Radha Govinda temple, and we were paying obeisances and visiting. And he was Tirthakirti's brother, Tomas. He was a little bit more sincere than we are paying his obeisances, and we looked up, we'd all left. And he didn't know like where we were. So he ran went the wrong direction. And Vrindavan is full of these old narrow roads, open sewers, and old buildings falling down, and sadhus. He was terrified. Oh, I'm alone. Yeah. So he asked some sadhus. He said, yeah, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Oh, yeah. So they put him on a tempo. Tempo is kind of this two-cylinder thing. So he shake like that. Mechanical water buffalo. So it took off, you know, and he's thinking it's going to take him to the, he'll recognize the Krishna Balaram temple, but it keeps going and it keeps going. It's out in the country. What's happening? You know, it's getting worse. And this very, very nice looking Swedish girl got on like that. If you know Tomas, that says something, you know. So he's talking to her and she's talking to him. You know? And she says, well, you know, I'm staying in the Krishna Balaram temple in ISKCON there. And where is this temple going there? He said, no, it's going to Mathura like that. She said, but look, I've been staying in one of Prabhupada's Garbhadhara's ashrams there, and I'm getting my things, and I'm going to move to the Krishna Balaram temple. You know? And she said, you know, because he was thinking that ISKCON's too tough, you know, Prabhupada's Garbhadhara's, they only require four rounds and three principles or like that, you know, stuff. So I really should take shelter of one of Prabhupada's Garbhadhara's like that, you know, so at least some of them. Some are very strict. You know? And so, but she said, you know, we said, but you know, if you're thinking of taking shelter of this, you know, you should, ISKCON is the only place for us Westerners like that, you know. So he was kind of impressed, you know, because she's a Swedish girl, like that, you know, so on. So they went to the ashram, and she went to get her things, and Narayan Mars, oh, Baba's governor is right there. I say, yeah. Anyway, he was giving a lecture, and he listened to the whole thing. It's the first time he'd ever, you know, heard him and stuff like that, and so. So he went back to the Krishna Balaram temple, and he was pretty convinced that, well, yeah, actually I should stay in ISKCON, and this is the best place, and like that, you know. But because he'd been praying to Radha Govinda, please reveal to me, what should I do, what's the situation like that. And it was just instantaneous. He was on the rickshaw, he went off, he met this devotee, somebody else, he trusted his authority, gave him the answer, you know. So he told his friend who'd been smoking the marijuana, he said, you've got to be really careful in this place, because anything you desire becomes a reality immediately. Like that. Whatever you desire in Vrindavan becomes a reality, you know, within 15 minutes, like that. So be very careful. And Prabhupada said that, he'd be very careful. Because if you want to advance in spiritual life, okay, things will happen one after another, and in 15 minutes, you've gone through in 15 years. Like that. Not so fast, please. Another devotee, her husband was a military officer in Chile. And they got divorced after about 7 years and something like that, you know. So she was with us there in Vrindavan. And she went back to Chile. We kind of separated in London, devotees went different directions. And she wrote to me, and she said when she was there, she said she'd had, you know, a little company with two different men, but there was never any chemistry, you know. It was really kind of feeling like she'd been divorced for like, you know, 10 years and lonely and everything else and what to do. So she said, just before she left Vrindavan, she prayed to Radharani, I've been here a long time, I've done austerities for 1 month, you know, and really, you know, so if you're a little bit pleased with me, you can understand, you're also a girl, like, you know, what's it like being alone, this and that. If you can make some arrangement like that, okay, you know. So she left, okay, I made my prayers in Vrindavan. So she landed in Santiago, and her family was all there, receiving her home like that, and her former husband, who's a colonel now, was there waiting with flowers. He bowed down on one knee in front of her and said, I'm such a fool to have left you ever, and please accept me back. And she cried, and the family cried, and everybody's watching, he was this full colonel in uniform, like that, you know, it's like that, you know. And then she stopped chatting her rounds, and okay, yeah, yeah. But she was the same thing, so it's like, you know, when, that's why the covering is there, so we won't like, you know, abuse it. He won't like, won't, because of the offenses, Vrindavan becomes more and more covered every year. It's like the kundas in Vrindavan are like Charnamrita. You know, they're made from the perspiration of the gopis and these kind of things. They're all so pure. But you see people brushing their teeth, you know, spitting in them like that. It's like somebody here using the Charnamrita to brush their teeth, something like that, you know, like that. You know, it's going to be a bad reaction for everybody, you know, like that. So they cover themselves. They appear ordinary, they appear materialistic, and then people don't want to stay there, so they don't stay. You know, the men have high-pitched voices, the water is salty, it's full of thorns, okay, yeah. It's hot. So that's why it's there, to keep us, you know, committing offenses like that. By the end of Kali Yuga, every single aspect of Vrindavan is covered like that, except for one feature, and that stays spiritual right to the end of the Kali Yuga, and that is the dust of Vrindavan Dham. So there's nothing more merciful than the dust of Vrindavan Dham. Die! Like that. And it's wonderful. It's just unlimited. There's just so much of it. It's like, yeah. So many, Prabodhananda Saraswati has beautiful poems. He said that Sri Sri Radha Krishna themselves are perfectly happy to lie down on the ground in Vrindavan and sleep peacefully. So why are you worried where you're going to stay? These kind of things. Just spread some little cloth out and lie down on the ground in Vrindavan. A loving father and mother, a powerful king, they can protect you. But Vrindavan Dham never sleeps like that. Vrindavan Dham ki, he's always watching, protecting everybody. Yeah, very beautiful poems. So, mercy of Lord Chaitanya, mercy of Lord Nityananda, our senses become controlled, our mind becomes purified, and then we can see Vrindavan. And then, what happens? Kabiha Mahara Boshi Vrindavan Dham, Rupa Raghunatha Pade Hoi Beyakuti. Then we can get the mercy of the Manjaris. Like that, at that point, the mercy of the Manjaris. And they're so kind, they're just so little girls. I mean, you've got to be under 11 years old to be a Manjari. That's the rule like that, something like that. So they're all very little girls, and the Sakis are older, 14, 15, 16. But it's so innocent, you know, so simple, so gentle, you know. And so they give so much mercy to so many people. They say things they don't know what they're saying like that, you know. You know, they don't know what they're saying sometimes, talking about things. They don't know what's happening. You know? So they give so much mercy like that to everybody, you know, even in Vrindavan like that. You know? So Rupa Raghunatha Pade Hoi Be Akuti, when I become anxious to Prabhupada says to study the literature left by the Goswamis like that, then I'll be able to understand Radha and Krishna. Rupa Raghunatha Pade Rahu Moraj, you know? Always desiring. Am I always aspiring for the Rahu? What does Rahu mean? Asha means to aspire. Yes, so somebody always aspiring for the dust. It's dust. Always aspiring for the lotus feet of Rupa and Raghunath. Narottam Das Thakur eternally sings this prarthana. So it introduces the whole thing like that. Yeah. So that's the process. Where are we? What level are we on? Are we trying to get the mercy of Lord Nityananda, control our senses? Are you beginning to perceive Vrindavan? It's not like boxes. You know, it's got a curve. You know, you still have some bad qualities, but you're falling pretty well, and you're beginning to see some things that are higher. You know, and later on we'll move to the level of nishta and have less doubts and more chances to actually experience some bhava. You know, making progress like that. So this is what you know. Upadeshamrita, Prabhupada's quoting this. This is what. You know, Narottam Das is telling us that we're all trying to get the mercy of the Goswamis. So you see, he's coming down. These songs by Narottam, you can see he's very clear. He's surrendered to the six Goswamis. There's his life. He's thinking of nothing but this. You know, and then after that, after Narottam, who's next to Acharya after Narottam? There's three generations of Diksha Gurus, but they're not included as Acharyas. They're bad people, but it's not Acharyas. Huh? Vishwanath Chakravarti. Yeah. And how do we have access to him? Narottam, we have access to so many songs, and as we chant these, he'll be revealed to us like that. Huh? That we have that song. But so many of the Prabhupada's purports are he's simply presenting Vishwanath Chakravarti. Krishna Chakravarti gave a whole commentary. And Bhanu Swami is now translating it. First he translated the commentaries in the 10th canto, and now he's going through one canto after another. I think he's up to the 4th canto. Like that. Yeah. And so it's just, you know, this movement is just expanding. It's unbelievable. Yeah, and now there'll be new problems. And before the problems of struggling to survive, now there'll be the problem of struggling with opulence. Fame, prestige, which is, you know, more companies are destroyed during successful times than they are during times of struggling, like that. You know, success makes you lazy. Your product quality becomes, you don't take care of your clients. You make bad decisions and strategy. Because all when you're struggling, it's everything. Yes, sir, welcome to our shop, like that. And, what do you want to buy? Those kind of things. Okay, you know, it's just, yeah. So then we, opulence and prestige and money and power. I think, was it in Houston, one man, he bought the property across from the temple, one doctor, and then he, somehow or other, he had a lot of money. He was keeping the property name of ISKCON or something. He wasn't transferring it, because when he had to transfer it, he would have had to pay property taxes. So it was some kind of sales contract and this and that, but it wasn't actually transferred. Then surprisingly, he left his body. And then the way the whole contract was written, everything came back to ISKCON. So suddenly, just recently, they've acquired $22 million. You know, here today, you know, so I've seen that. Krishna can just, in 1 minute, he can take it all away, or he can give everything. So now they're like, I can see, you know, it's how do you avoid being intoxicated? Just suddenly, you know, the Bhaktivedanta college gets a donation of $22 million. It's like, oh yeah, okay. Yeah, because you chant your round, you follow the principles, and you realize, yeah, Krishna can take it away just like that. The same thing. Yeah, so on. So, you know, ISKCON's growing, all the nice, beautiful books coming out, and translations like that. You know. And this is all to get the lotus feet of the Goswamis, right? Coming down this parampara, you know, to the Goswamis, Vishnu Chakrabarti, after him comes. Well, Devi Vibhushana, he's not in the list, though, parampara list. You know, but he is one of our acharyas. Huh? Jagannath Das Babaji. And then Babaji, Bhaktivinoda Thakur Gaurakishore. Yeah. Like Siddhanta Saraswati Srila Prabhupada. Yeah. And who's next? Yeah. But again, there's three generations between Narottam and Vishnu Chakrabarti. All very nice devotees, but they weren't acharyas. So when acharya with a big A came along, they all said, oh yes, you know, you can appreciate, understand the works of Narottam. Here they are. Take it. So it's parampara. But you know, we can deliver the process maybe. Third class parampara, they have some faith or following, but they can't even give you the process. You know? But if you're sincere, you'll find it. Second class, they can give you the process intact. They're following, they're madhyamalakaris. And first class, they can give you the full feeling, everything else like that. You know? So at that time, maybe a parampara was on the second class level. You know, it's like that. You know, who knows? You know? But then it's coming down from Narottam. He says, Narottam, Vishnu Chakrabarti. Like, so there's three generations of Chakrabartis in between them, like that. So it doesn't have to be an acharya with a big A in every generation. You know, it's passing, the shiksha is passing down like that. So any questions, comments? This is just a preface. Yeah. Huh? Well, the temple in Houston, they just got $22 million. Huh? No, there's a temple in Texas, United States, Houston, Texas, and because of a little bit adjustment, someone left his body, and suddenly they got $22 million like that, donation. And it's very difficult, you know, not to... Huh? That's part of it. It's just, if you're a brahmana, you get rid of it as soon as possible. It doesn't sit there staring at you. So probably the idea now is that the property right across from the street is to open up a primary school. A Krishna conscious primary school, and use the money to get the funding and establish everything, buy school buses. But yeah, because there's a lot of people. If you have a nice quality school like that with nice standard and nice education, there are many people, you know, like that. And they may not all be like in the direct neighborhood, but if you have two school buses, you can, you know, pick up a lot of kids. Yeah. And so it's like a very, that was actually Tamal Krishnamurti's idea. Yeah, he's very brilliant, very intelligent. You know. He was preaching to the Indians there, and he said, you're very nice. You're all very nice people. You know? And your children will also be very nice, because you're nice like that. You know? He said, but you can see they won't be like you. Many of them will be able to understand your traditional language, but they won't be able to speak it. And they're all going, yeah, that's a fact. My kids can understand me, but they can't Hindi, but they cannot speak Hindi. You know? And he said, and you'll see your children's children will be just like the people around you. And all... He says, unless you help us make a high school like that. Yeah, where they can have the culture and stuff. Because why? They go to school. You're trying to spend a little time with your kids, but forget it. You know, you have so many things to do, and then 6 hours a day, there's systematic propaganda to look at the world the way the society wants you to look at it. You know? So that's why he was, you know, it was his idea to have a nice Krishna-conscious high school. And all the way through like that, and he studies in educational development, a young man cannot keep his own opinion until basically 24 years old, 25 years old, without association. And if you have some idea about what things are, if you have bad association, you won't be able to keep your own like convictions about things until about 25 years old. Still needs association, protection. Yeah. Very interesting. You know, so many things. So high school is very, you know, essential. Like that. So the final. Yes. Yeah. Well, as far as I understand, there's Rupa and Rati Manjari, and they're both assistants of Rupa Goswami. Rupa Manjari is the principal assistant of Lalita, like that. And then Rati Manjari is like also, you know, helping, like that. Yeah. Others? I don't know who they are. Like that. Prabodhananda Saraswati is Tungavidya. Yeah. But the different, you know, it's interesting because out of thousands of gopis, 16,000 are prominent. Out of those 16,000, 8 are prominent. 108. Out of those, 8 are prominent. Out of those 2 are prominent, Chandravali and Radha. And out of those, Radharani is the most prominent. This is one person, one analysis. Somebody else may have a different analysis. but those 8, sometimes people are confused. They think that's the Astasakhi. No. Those are Chandravali, Radharani, Palika, Shama. And they're just different gopis in Vrindavan. And some are favorable to Radharani, some are competitors, like that. Then the Astasakhi, we know, are Radharani's expansions, her. She wants to cook for Krishna, sing for Krishna, dance for Krishna, all at one time. Right? She's about to explode, you know? So she explodes, you know, and then she becomes eight different people, like that. So they're not different, they're just expansions of her personality. And some of the gopis are extremely critical of Krishna. If he shows up 15 minutes or 5 minutes late for some meeting, they're all over his case. Where are you? What are you doing? You know, Radharani's crying, you know, like that, you know. And so then Lalita's like that. She's heavy, you know. But then Tungavidya is more like, she's more on Krishna's side. She'll say, well, hey, give him a chance. Maybe he has an explanation, like that, you know, stuff. No, forget it, you know. So it's like, she's more, Tungavidya's a different humor. It's interesting because we mention Prabodhananda Saraswati sometimes, and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati just directly glorifies him as perfect personality. But some indications in Chaitanya Bhagavat, some purport by Bhaktisiddhanta, he says, as I remember, he says, there never was any dispute between the Goswamis, Rupa Goswami, and Prabodhananda Saraswati. But some of their less intelligent followers have created this dispute, like that, you know. So even amongst our society, therefore we just don't mention Prabodhananda Saraswati because there's been some kind of like, you know, confusion about things like that. You know, there's many, many subtle things to learn, like that, once you get into this, you know, these higher levels and stuff like that. One time, I was Raghunath Das Goswami, he would just take a little leaf cup of buttermilk every day. So one of his followers was so disturbed because he was so skinny, he got a little bigger leaf cup, right? So he'd take more. So he was taking it like that, and he said, oh, a bigger leaf cup. I said, where did you get this? He said, oh, they make them in Sakistali, like that, in the village of Sakistali. He just took it and threw it on the ground, wouldn't even finish it. And he said, that's Chandravali's village. So he was so absorbed in this mood of Radha, he wouldn't even look at a paper cup from Chandravali's village, like that, so on. Wow. So there's so many subtle things like that, on this level like that, you know. Pakistali. Yeah. And so, yeah. So Lalita's, you know, she's the oldest of the gopis. She's like 1 year older than Radharani. One time Radharani is eating her lunch and she's running to meet Krishna. But Lalita says, slow down, missy. You just ate. You're going to get sick. Krishna can wait for you, like that. Like that. So she's You're the boss, you know. And if Radharani comes back crying, and what's wrong? Krishna, Krishna, other girls, do everything like that. And I'm like this. she's gonna go see Krishna, talk to him a little bit, you know. So very, she has a very certain humor like that. And Prabhupada too, you know, certain humor. Prabhupada was walking the beach one time in Bombay, and all these people falling behind, and Dr. Patel was there, he's a surgeon. Oh, he's arguing philosophy with Prabhupada, different things like that, you know. Some Prabhupada was mentioning, he said, in my grihastha ashram, I was very argumentative. I was always arguing with my wife, you know. In my grihastha ashram, I was very argumentative. And Dr. Patel said, Prabhupada, you are still argumentative. And Prabhupada said, yes, it is a fact, like that. So, but then we don't have to be that way. You know, no, it's not. Shruti Kirti, Prabhupada's secretary for some time, and he probably said, why is this here? Why you put that there? It's supposed to be there. I said, yes, Prabhupada. What have you done? And I said, you know, for about 3 days, something happened like that. And Prabhupada told him something, kind of chastised him. He said, yes, Prabhupada, sorry. You know. And Prabhupada looked at him and said, you're no fun. You never fight back. Like that. Yeah, like that. So he realized that. But he said it wasn't his nature. He was more like, you know, Chandrabali's humor, like that and stuff. And probably more like, you know, Radharani's humor, like that. But realize, we don't have to be like that. You know, the Prabhupada appreciates everybody's different, and so we get in a different position, and this is Prabhupada's way of preaching. You know, but it's pure. We can learn from that. He's using his nature. You know, so we have to have our nature. And if we go and become more purified, it becomes deeper. We get more in contact with our swarup, you know, which is, you know, very potent, very broad. And we can do very intense things then. So Prabhupada ki, back home, back to Godhead.